Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we explore Yule altars. And I'm coming to you live on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, and also coming to you live from my main Facebook page, Selena Fox Updates. And you can get more information about all the different podcasts that I do, as well as other people on our team do, at the Circle Sanctuary website, circlesanctuary.org, as well as on Facebook at the CSN Podcast Facebook page. So if you aren't already connected with those sites, I invite you to go and check them out, because we have lots of different podcasts that happen during the course of the month. Yule altars. Well, Yuletide has begun for many of us here in the Northern Hemisphere. Solstice sun shining bright. Longest, shortest days and longest nights, unless you're in the Southern Hemisphere, in which case it's the longest days and shortest nights. Solstice wish of hope and cheer, peace on earth throughout the Yule altars are a really wonderful way to celebrate the Yuletide. Now, what is the Yuletide? The Yuletide is the whole happy holiday season. Some people use the word Yule to basically mean winter solstice only, the winter solstice eve, the longest night, and winter solstice day. Others use it in the more ancient way, which is looking at a period of several days and nights in which Yule or the winter solstice is celebrated. And over the years, across cultures, as the old winter solstice celebrations continued to evolve and change in Europe and in other parts of the world, in more contemporary times, Yule has been used to also signify other holidays around this time of year, including Christmas and, yes, even New Year. So tonight I'm going to be sharing with you some ways of creating and working with Yule altars throughout the whole Yuletide, happy holidays season. I have with me tonight a very simple Yule altar. It consists of a sun disk. And I've used this sun disk in various winter solstice rituals, but also I've used it in a variety of rituals involving connecting with the sun in a sacred way. I've taken it to our summer solstice gatherings, pagan spirit gathering, and I've used it at equinox time and actually at each of the eight Sabbaths in the pagan wheel of the year, solstices and equinoxes and the midpoints between. So a real simple Yule altar, get some kind of sun symbol and a Crystal, representing the sunlight. And you might also want to include some symbol connected with one or more strands of ancestral heritage or spiritual identity. I have on this Yule altar a little woven goat of straw called a Yulebok, and it is a symbol of solstice, and not only in Sweden, but in other Scandinavian countries, you will find Yuleboks of different shapes and sizes. In fact, some create huge Yuleboks and burn them as part of a way of representing the birth of the new solar year. So you do not need a lot of stuff to create a Yule altar. In fact, you can have a candle and let that represent the winter solstice season and the sun. Or you can be quite elaborate and have multiple altars, each with a particular purpose. So as you explore some ways of working with a Yule altar, one of the first things to think about is where do you want to have your Yule altar and what purpose is it to serve? How long will you have the Yule altar up? Who has access to it? And what types of activities you will be having at the Yule altar? So I'm going to share with you some of my own experiences of working with different types of Yule altars. At my home, I actually have several types of Yule altars every year. I have my sun altar, and indeed this disc that I have here is the disc that I use on my main sun altar. Typically have some evergreens with it and some candles. And it's in the front hallway of my home, and there are windows that face the east. So as the sun rises, the light streams in and actually to the sun altar. And I really like having a sun altar. It's a reminder to me of the sun throughout the year. And by decorating it with some evergreens, it turns it into a Yuletide sun altar. Another altar that I do every year is what I call kind of the Yule display. And this year, I have on this altar that's in a hallway that goes from my front hall into my main living area, I have a Yule log. And it is a piece of oak with some evergreens, freshly picked, tied on with a bright red ribbon. Now, some Yule logs are meant to be on display and then to be burned. And I also have Yule logs over by the fireplace, actually several Yule logs that I will be burning as winter solstice longest nights start occurring. So for a Yule log altar, having a piece of wood, and I'm pretty much sold on oak, but it depends on the tradition. Some people will use birch, and some will use some other type of wood to represent the new solar year. But I live in an oak forest, and The oak is a special tree in my father's 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 heritage line going back to old Scotland. So I'm pretty partial to oak. Now, with a Yule log altar, having the Yule log on display and then having a candle or candles. Right now I have two candles, and they're battery-operated candles on either end of the Yule log. And then at night I turn them on and get a beautiful glow. So I have a whole Yule log altar in my main hallway this year. And part of that comes from years of working with the Yule log as a symbol of the season. Another altar that I have, and it's year-round, is my Bridget Shrine. And it's in an alcove not too far from this main, right at the end of the main hallway. And so I have Bridget at the shrine, an image of her in a threefold aspect, and she's there throughout the year. And it becomes a Yuletide altar because I add to it some evergreen sprigs, some holly, some golden oak leaf art pieces, and of course, candles. So I adorn an existing altar shrine with Yuletide greens and other decorations as a way of celebrating Yule. Another altar that I have in my home is in my dining area, and I call it my seasons altar. I have a beautiful bowl with the names of each of the Sabbaths around it, representing the wheel of the year. And of course, I have the name Yule turned right out, so as you look at it, you can see it. In fact, this candle that I have on my solar altar here for this workshop is in the center of this bowl. And here again, the whole altar signifies the wheel of the year as it has arrived at the Yuletide. These are just some examples of altars that I've developed over time. I live in the country, and part of being in this house and got here back in 2000, I made sure there was plenty of room to do multiple altars because I'm aligned with different forms of the divine, and each of the shrines and altars I have for particular forms of divinity, I decorate for the season. So that's how I come to have a lot of different Yule altars in my home. I have a Bast altar for the Egyptian cat goddess, and while at this stage in my life, I do not have an actual cat as a resident in our household, did for many, many years, I have continued to keep up my Bast altar, and I have an evergreen wreath that I set around the Bast, main Bast image as a way of adorning that altar for the Yuletide. So you may have in your home some existing shrines and altars, and you can turn them into Yule altars by putting some Yule symbols on them during the Yuletide season. I also want you to consider Yule altars as more than a tabletop or a shelf or some other flat space where you arrange certain sacred objects. I consider a Yule tree as a kind of Yule altar. And why do I say that? Well, there's many different traditions for those who have Yule trees, ornaments being one of those traditions, and ornaments having particular meanings, bearing memories. And if you're in a household with multiple people, having a tree decorating party can be great fun. Or if you are on your own, you can do your own decoration. And as you put on each ornament, especially ones that are uniquely different from each other, you can call to your mind the memories of those ornaments from years past. And a Yule tree is a place that celebrates the season. In fact, there's whole rituals connected with Yule trees in public spaces as well as indoor community places, as well as in homes and work and school and other institutional environments. The whole idea of turning on the lights of a Yule tree is a really powerful ritual. Most people don't consider a Yule tree as an altar, but I do because of its ever-presence in my own home and the fact that I can put all sorts of amazing stuff on the tree, as well as a great star on the top, and of course, items underneath the tree. Think of a feasting table as an altar. Now, you might not consider that an altar, but you can do some altar-like things by creating a centerpiece. Candles, of course, many people will do that, but you may want to have some symbol of hospitality, not only foods that you're consuming and some greens around that, but there's one particular beverage that's very traditional known as wassail, and it's typically made of apple cider and spices, and it depends on who's making it as to whether there's alcohol content or not, but you could create a whole wassail bowl altar or use it as a centerpiece at a feasting table. I typically have it on its own table when I host holiday parties in my home and have not only the wassail bowl, which is actually a crock pot that's plugged in to keep the cider warm, but lots of cups around it, plus a dipper and a holder to put the dipper in. And that wassail bowl altar gets a lot of attention at holiday parties I've had in the past. So your altar for hospitality can just be fabulous. And at some holiday events I've attended, as well as those I've held in my own home, I've done one of my favorite Yuletide altars in the hospitality sector called the Sweets Table, and typically having on it all sorts of sugary and tasty delights, some fruits, some chocolate, of course, and all sorts of delicacies, and it becomes its own kind of place to celebrate the sweetness of the holidays. Another type of altar is the mantle. If you happen to be in a place with a fireplace, above the fireplace, in many places, it will be some kind of an altar in the form of a mantle. And one of the things that I like to do is to actually have a series of red candles in jars, safety as well as practicality, to contain the wax. And then I have some evergreens, what I call the eternal evergreens, ones that are imitation evergreens, but they look fairly real. And so I mixed little bits of evergreen around the bases of all of the candles, and it's a very easy way to create a hearth fire altar. And our particular hearth fire is an actual hearth where we burn wood, mostly oak, but some other hardwoods. And so being able to have a hearth fire altar is not only a traditional way of connecting with this holiday season, but it can be quite beautiful. Of course, everyone has their own particular style and artistic inclinations, and an altar doesn't have to be complicated or expensive. Having a personal altar that you decorate for Yule is something that's commonplace in many traditions. And what form can that decoration take? A few sprigs of evergreen, bits of holly. The colors red and green have been linked with winter solstice since the ancient times. The greens representing the continuity of life, the red typically linked in with the sun for solstice. But of course, those aren't the only two colors. You have gold, and that's one of my favorite colors for this time of year. I actually have some golden acorns that I use as part of altar decorations representing the new solar year. And the tradition that I practice, circle craft, which draws some of its lore and symbology from old style paganism as well as contemporary ways. The oak was symbol of the new solar year, holly as the symbol of the old year passing. And I really enjoy Yuletide as a multicultural, interreligious, multilingual, international celebration. And so one thing that I will have somewhere in my home is what I call the Yuletide gift bringers. That altar usually takes the form of some images I put in a hutch, which I have up year round, and I bring out some of my Yuletide gift giver images. So everything from Yule boys from Iceland to Santa in various configurations to Holda, the Germanic goddess of winter solstice, Lucina or Lucia from Swedish paganism, then turned Christianity, turned multi-cultural and multi-faith these days, Baba Yaga, a crone connected with the winter solstice. Actually, some say that Holda has her, what you might call, shadowy sister or more fierce sister, Burka, which is very similar to a lot of the Baba Yaga celebrations and observances. So I get very multicultural when I'm celebrating Yuletide gift bringers. And I have some Yuletide gift bringers that really are rooted in more contemporary times, including the Yuletide fairy, which has emerged in 20th century USA and has gone around the world. Of course, there have been Yuletide spirits since the most ancient of times. I'll include in my Yuletide gift bringers and Yuletide spirits altar, which is actually a number of different shelves in a hutch, some Nissa, which is Yule Nissa or Yule Tomten, which are Scandinavian nature spirits connected with the Yuletide season. And what I really enjoy is being able to bring together not only different cultural influences from my own ancestral heritage and that of my husband, but from around the world. So having some type of Yuletide gift bringer altar, or to have one or more of those figures on your own personal altar, can be a wonderful way of having a Yule altar during the Yuletide. So here are just a few of the examples. What I'd like to do now is talk about some of the considerations. Well, I've been talking mainly about altars indoors at home. So that has the advantages in that the weather, which can be quite unpredictable in many places as winter comes on, it gives a safe haven or a safer haven for having your altar. But I also like being able to create altars outside, usually at the base of a tree, sometimes on a tree stump near a base of a tree. And often it will take the form of Yule offerings. Now, many people are familiar with the holiday custom connected with Santa, who I consider a multicultural, international, interreligious, multilingual being. Yes, there was a St. Nicholas in lore, and many people see Santa as really synonymous with St. Nicholas. I actually see Santa as much more complicated than that, much more diverse, and some say that there's a bit of Odin in Santa. Some say it's Thor. Some say it's Holda. Some say that Santa embodies a variety of different gift-giving Yuletide spirits. But the idea of giving Santa often cookies and milk, or in Italy, the gift bringer is La Befana, and typically that happens on January 5th, Epiphany Eve. Well, she likes wine, so there is, and some give wine to Holda, and there's all sorts of offerings that you can put out in nature to honor the divine in one or more forms, depending on your tradition and inclination. I do think if you're going to be putting food outside to honor the divine, make sure that any wildlife that might come and be the vessels for taking those offerings into the natural world, that whatever you put out is safe for critters to consume as well. So being able to put out some type of treats for nature spirits is something quite ancient. So before Santa and cookies and milk, there was feeding the Tapta or the Nissa, the nature spirits. There was honoring a goddess, Holda. And some say that with Holda offerings, you would find a place on your rooftop to do it because she was flying through the air on winter solstice eve or on Christmas Eve or on Epiphany Eve, depending on which tradition you're connecting with and which bit of her lore. But yes, you can create an altar of offerings for divinities on your rooftop or out in your garden. So altars can be outdoors or indoors. Another thing to keep in mind is who's going to have access to it. Obviously, if you are indoors and you have creatures and children, you may want to have your altar secure in a way that it doesn't get rearranged unexpectedly by those who have access to it and don't have a full understanding of it, or maybe they just are very playful. So be aware of location And another important thing is duration. When do you set it up? When do you take it down? And as with Yuletide decorations as a whole, it really does depend on the particular tradition that you resonate with. For myself, we start doing the Yuletide the day after American Thanksgiving with bringing a tree and getting a wreath and putting it on the front door. And then in the weeks leading up to the actual solstice, a longest night and solstice day, we add different types of decorations in the home and with ritual and with celebration. So Yule altars can evolve, and they can be up for several weeks. When to take them down? Well, some people will take their Yule decorations down right after Yule, but for myself, I prefer to wait until at least January 6th, which is Epiphany, and it in ancient Roman times, in early January, after the Saturnalia, which is the winter solstice celebration amongst the ancient Romans, there is another festival which celebrated the beginning of the calendar year. So I'm usually taking decorations down sometime in January and dismantling Yuletide altars and removing Yule decorations from my year-round altars during January. For me, the completion date is end of January as we move into turning the wheel to Imamuk, or some people call it by the medieval name of Candlemas. So being able to figure out how long is your altar going to be up. Who's the altar for? Who's going to be working with it? And what other dynamics do you need to have in mind? So I do community altars as part of Circle Sanctuary's Yuletide Festival and its longest night celebration, which evolved from our public winter solstice pageant. We now call it longest night and have it on solstice eve or one of the longest nights close to solstice day. Of course, during the pandemic, we've had opportunities to adapt our Yuletide altars to something that will show up on screen and be more portable. In fact, as we prepare for upcoming Yule events online in 2021, one of the things that I've begun doing is considering what types of objects and altars will I be creating for the different Yule events. The festival, the longest night, the full moon circle, those are three events that we have coming up in 2021, but also live streams such as this. A community altar can be really very magical if you're in a situation where people can safely gather. And pre-pandemic, we would have one of the altars in the Circle Sanctuary Temple Room be a place where people could come and bring objects representing Yule to be blessed on the altar. In addition to having an altar up against one of our walls, we have a big circular altar that we typically use as the main community altar for our festivals for each of the Sabbaths. So one really beautiful thing that can be done as a community Yule altar is to have the altar in the center of the room have some type of centerpiece. It might be a cauldron with a big candle in it representing the sun. When we did Longest Night a couple years ago, one of our ministers brought a beautiful globe that was glowing with light that represented the sun, and so we had candles in that. We actually had a large cauldron filled with sand, and as each of us kindled a candle during the ritual, we added our candle to the big cauldron of sand to hold the candles in them and catch the wax drippings, and to actually have a community-created altar at Yuletide can be really fabulous. Over the years, when I've done community full moon circles, one of our customs has been not only to bring a candle and a candle holder to put around the outer rim of our big circular altar table in the center of the room, but before we even kindle the candles, items from our home that represent Yule, we would create a display in the very center representing Yuletide with evergreens, all sorts of divine images and sun symbols and moon symbols, and then having a circle of light all around it. In the early days of doing community rituals, one of my favorite community altars to create was involved having a central tripod black iron cauldron with a big red candle in the center, and then going out 8 pieces of ribbon, about half inch wide, and then having each of them end with a candle holder and a taper candle representing the wheel of the year. Did that for many, many years, and over time you may find community altars will evolve depending on who's facilitating the ritual and how many people are going to be present. I do think having something central as a focal point can be great for community bonding and connecting and being able to have something different over the years, so that having some constant images can be good, but also having variety can be really a fabulous thing. So thinking about duration and altars, well, in some cases, we will create an altar specifically for a particular Yule ritual. We'll set it up a few hours or maybe even an hour before we start, have the ceremony, and then after the ceremony concludes, we take it down. So a Yule altar can be very short in duration, or it can be kept up for multiple days and nights. Some people like having a Yule altar where they are kindling a candle every night of the Yuletide, and it might be a central candle representing the winter solstice sun, or it might take the form of a candelabra with 5 different candles that could be kindled representing the elements of nature. Lots of different variations with that. Some people like to have a symbol of each of the elements of nature on a Yuletide ritual altar, a chalice of water, a pinnacle of salt or soil, a censer with incense, a lamp or a candle representing fire, a crystal representing spirit, and then something representing the sun, and one or more forms of the divine that will be invoked during the ceremony. Another thing to keep in mind as you consider different types of Yule altars is visibility. If you're going to be with a large group, then you want the altar to be visible for people. So you may need to have bigger images and have the altar more elevated so everyone can see it. If it's a very small group, then a much smaller altar can serve well. You may travel during the Yuletide season, and you may want a portable altar. And in this case, you may want to make a little altar kit and pack up different items for your altar from your home and take them to wherever you're doing your Yuletide celebration. I really like having greens, evergreen sprigs on my Yuletide altars, and I have not only fresh sprigs that we get from the forest, but I also have the perpetual greens that look fairly like actual greens that I also have used over time. And as you consider the purpose of altars, that's another factor in determining what's going to be on the altar, how long it will be up, who has access to it. So what I'd like to do is share with you some purposes for an altar. I gave some examples of different types of altars I've had in my own home, and some of them have the purpose kind of woven into the name, such as the hospitality altar, connected with having those taking part in the celebration feeling welcomed and connected with each other. And literally having altars where you can feast from the ingredients put on the altar. Having an altar associated with a particular form of the divine, actually taking more of the form of a shrine, one of the things that I do on what some call Christmas Eve, which is also known as Mother's Night, and some of the heathen traditions actually celebrate Mother's Night on the longest night, on Winter Solstice Eve. I have some Saxon heritage, some Viking heritage, and so I have kind of a heathen dimension to some of my practices, and including from Germanic traditions. There was an image of three mothers, the matres, that in Germanic Roman times took on the combining of Germanic heathen traditions and Roman Saturnalia traditions, and I actually have a reproduction of Madre's figure. And so part of my celebration of what some people would call Christmas Eve is actually kindling candles to the Madres and of the mothers and honoring them and honoring my German heritage. So I have a specific altar that I set up specifically to honor that form of the divine. I've collected Santas and other gift-bringing spirits of Yuletide for many years, and I have a window that overlooks the sink in my kitchen that we have plants, and it's a beautiful place to grow plants and things. Well, I typically put some Santa images up and some other Yule gifters. There's one called Christmas Eva, where an artist in the 20th century concocted this gift-giving crone, who I just truly love, kind of with a witch hat and with a little Santa hat on top of her. So I have Christmas Eva, I have Santa, I have some other gift bringers there, but mostly Santa images. And while this isn't so much to worship Santa, but it is a reminder of the spirit of the holiday of giving and connecting. So you may have an altar for hospitality. You may have an altar to connect with one or more divine forms that you are particularly aligned with or that are connected with the holiday season that you want to strengthen connection with. Another way of creating an altar is a solstice altar, a Yuletide altar that is for meditation. And certainly one with a sun image, candle, some incense, sitting quietly, having that reminder of the sun before you. Totally an amazing thing to do. So the ritual doesn't have to be complicated. It can be quite simple. I have created altars outside with some rhythm instruments. This is my jingle bell wand that I use for some of my Yule rituals, and will greet the rising sun. I will kindle a candle as the sun comes up and hold it up to reflect the rays of the sun and to celebrate the sun as a form of giver of life. For myself, the sacred sun has a number of different divine alignments connected with it. So it isn't necessarily sun father, it can be sun mother. And one of the things I like about a solstice sun ritual and altar is that it really can be multicultural and interreligious if you set it up for that focus. I also want to share with you what I call the charity altar. And the charity altar at Circle Sanctuary over the years has typically taken the form of bags and boxes of canned goods that go under our community Yule tree. And while we've had the pandemic going on and haven't met in person last year, this year we're going to be able to go, a few of us join together, being able to have a place where you gather things that will then be shared with others. So for some people, it's a matter of setting up a table. And when we did our winter solstice pageant at in Madison, Wisconsin, for many years, as people came in, we had what I would call the charity altar, which is a huge table set out with lots of bags, and people put their donations of canned goods and other foodstuffs that we would then give to a food pantry to feed those in need. So what are some other types of Yuletide altars? Presents, a gift altar. And one of the things that we've done in our community celebrations, we'll be doing a community celebration this year, is what we call the magical gift exchange. We'll have, it's usually our main big round table of an altar, and we have everyone who wants to take part in the gift exchange put their gifts, wrap gifts, with something inside the gift that explains who it's from and what the meaning of the gift is for the person giving it. And we'll have all those gifts around on a big altar, and then we'll typically draw numbers and figure out who's going first, and then people walk around the altar and then get the scent, can't touch the gifts until you pick the one you're going to get, and then you pick it up and go back to your seat, and next person comes. Well, we open our gifts and then give thanks to the giver after everybody's had a chance to get their gifts. So then a tradition and a very specific kind of Yuletide altar that's been a lot of fun over the years. And when we've had a wide range of ages and we have a lot of young people and children with us, we typically have a separate gifting altar for the young people, so for the kids, as well as one for the adults, so the gifts are more age appropriate that way. So a giving altar, a charity altar. And what are some other kinds of altars? Ancestor altar. Many people think about ancestors at Samhain, and clearly, and those of us who have Samhain as our new year and as the festival of paying respects for the dead and looking ahead for the new spiritual year, ancestors are an important part of Samhain observances. But there's been strong connections with ancestors in Yuletide. And part of that comes from the combining of solstices and equinoxes as sacred holidays with the four Celtic fire festivals that occur in the middle of each season. Some of this has to do with individual traditions and the whole focus on connecting with loved ones, with family and friends, and being able to tell stories of those who have gone before. So you may want to create a special Yuletide ancestors altar, have photographs and heirlooms of those you wish to remember at Yuletide, to invite to be with you at your Yuletide observances. One of the traditions I've done as part of Yuletide over the years is, and I have a multicolored tapestry of different ancestral strands and patterns. So each Yuletide, I will pick at least one of my ancestral cultural heritages and do some research about how these holiday times were celebrated over time, not only currently, but in the past. And if I have information passed on to me through my own family lines, then certainly I use that as a good starting place. Clearly, and connecting with my Swedish heritage, I not only will have a Yule Bach, but a Lucina image, Star Boys. I will have some Lucy cakes or Lucy buns, which are a traditional food. And so you might consider having a ancestor culture-specific kind of altar as part of a way of honoring the ancestors from that particular tradition, as well as a way of doing some education for yourself and to others who will be celebrating with you. So what are some additional things to consider as a type of a Yule altar? Certainly being able to have divination at this time is important in many traditions. You could do divination work at your own personal altar or at a Yule altar set up for multiple purposes, or you might set up a specific divination altar with different divination tools on it, a scrying bowl, a group of rune stones or rune cards or oracle cards, tarot cards. I'll leave that up to you, but you may have a divination altar that you will work with as a way of getting guidance for the new solar year. And what are some other things you might do for an altar? Wishes for the new year altar. Well, the new solar year, the new calendar year. And one way of doing that is to get some type of object, and if there's going to be multiple people working with you, and it could be a Yule log or it could be a wreath, have some pieces of paper, some string, some pens, have people write their wishes and then tie them onto the wreath or onto the Yule log, and then to be able to burn that in a bonfire or a hearth fire, a way of putting wishes into the new solar year that's coming. You may want to have a altar with holiday greens, including mistletoe. Now, if you're working with mistletoe, the berries don't sit well with some pets, and you really should keep them away from pets and children. But mistletoe is a traditional green connected with this. You might want to have an altar where you have tokens of expression for the new solar year that those who might be visiting you could come and take as a memento of the time together. So it can be a different kind of gifting your altar. What are the protocols around the altar? Well, it depends on where you place it and how you describe it. And certainly, being able to have some altars, if you're going to have multiple ones where it's very free form, can be fabulous. But if you have very specific protocols regarding, for example, a personal altar, you may want to put that in a place in your home where only you have access to it. So you can have a Yule altar for yourself, for your household, for community, that of family and friends that gather. If you are part of a group and you're going to be gathering, you can have that type of community altar for celebrating winter solstice. And I think it can be really amazing to have some public Yule altars. So if you live in a place where people are able to contribute items to a public space, then, or ornaments put on a public tree, well, that's another way of contributing and being part of bringing in the holiday cheer to bless the new solar year. These are just a few of my long experiences and perspectives in working with Yule altars. When you think about symbols, what does Yule mean to you? In addition to the sacred herbs and trees connected with winter solstice, those are appropriate for an altar. You may have particular symbols that are special to you. Sun, not only sun images, but stars, which are a kind of sun. The five-pointed star atop many trees at this time of year. Some people call it the Christmas star or the solstice star. So it's really wonderful to see the diversity of ways that things are depicted. I'm also celebrating the fact that increasingly people are finding altars and the creation of altars, the use of altars at Yuletide as a way to enrich holiday celebrations, to have a place to do meditation, to do ritual, and to have a beautiful artistic creation, because altars really are a kind of art project as well, to be able to work with them. When you have completed your Yuletide or the function of a particular altar and it's ready to take down, be be sure to give thanks to the sacred forms and forces that you have worked with as part of that. If you have items that you will be using year to year, find a good place to put them. I have a variety of different bins that I label for my Yule items so I can easily find them from year to year. And if there are some things that you are going to put out to nature as offerings, then be able to do that in a beautiful and good way. So wishing you all a good Yuletide, and I give thanks to all of you who have tuned in live and all of you who will be watching later. And for more information about ways to celebrate Yule, you can go to circlesanctuary.org under my Celebrating the Seasons, a free online guide, and go to the Yule sector, and you'll see chants and podcasts, rituals, articles, and lore, and more. I give thanks to our podcasting team, and I give thanks to all who have made it possible for us to do podcasting and live streaming. For more information about Circle Sanctuary, find us on the web, circlesanctuary.org, on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook. And you can find me, Selena Fox, on Twitter, Selena_Fox, on Instagram, Selena Fox, on Facebook, Selena Fox Updates, and yes, I have a YouTube channel, Selena Fox, as the Circle Sanctuary. I hope that you have enjoyed this Yule Altar Workshop, and that you will join me and others for the other podcasts that we're going to be doing in the month of December on Yuletide celebrations. May you be safe. May you be well. Good Yule. Thanks for tuning in.
Return to their home, and the dead have followed the raven's song. No longer among us they roam. The wisdom of our ancient past shows us how to ride the storm. For their tombs they swallowed the rising sun, and the Mavern is always reborn. Reborn, oh. Away. All over the land a chorus of voices will sing for the rising sun on midwinter's day. On midwinter's day. Be frozen and hard, and the rain that fell has now turned to ice. The winter is showing its card, but now the Sun King has rested, and his eyes have returned to the earth. For 3 days the sun has been still in the sky, but the time has now come for his birth. His birth, oh.
So come, all you people, come and sing with me. others the sun is the sun. Some may listen in woodland for the call of her, while others they hear the clash of swords, for the old king will return. Return home. So come all you people, come and sing with me. Join our voices and sing the long nights away. All over the land a chorus of voices will sing for the rising sun on midwinter's day. On midwinter's day.
Sanctuary Network Podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.